radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mass Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
You're listening to Catholic Radio, and this show is called Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, and the number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. I'm here for the next 2 hours. Melissa's here as our call screener to take your calls. Dan's our engineer today, turning on the music and timing us to make the show run smoothly. And you're here as a wonderful listener. So not only a listener, but a caller. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. Call me at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Oh, we don't know sometimes when we're facing a struggle, we're distressed. We don't know how we'll go on. Maybe our loved ones hurt us, or our family's divided, or the finances worry us, or relationships all summer have been so superficial, and people are lonely in a crowd sometimes. Where do we turn? Or maybe you're overtaken with sickness, or you lost someone you love, or you can't seem to hear God's goodness. Well, we at Catholic Radio are here to help. Particularly, this is one of those helping shows, Mass Appeal. So give us a call with your problem or concern at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Whether it's a long term or something just short term, or just something that's confusing, or a time of searching and you're looking for some free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. So keep the faith, and if you'd like some encouragement and confidence to do the right thing, call now in the next couple hours. 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Now, today's the feast of St. Lawrence, who had a really positive attitude, even in the face of martyrdom. Today's hymn in the morning prayer is a poem about St. Lawrence, who was martyred in the year 258. And he can be certainly a role model to all of us to see the good, or see the humor in anything. And so the hymn says, when Lawrence was led out to die, love made him prodigal of life. No armor would he use but faith against the prosecutor's strife. The first of seven chosen men selected at the Pope's behest, a deacon's office to fulfill in virtue, he surpassed the rest. He was a leader in the fight, although no sword hung by his side, and with a smile in face of death, he could the torturer deride. So those of you that remember that story, how did St. Lawrence, and what did he do that he was smiling in the face of death back in the year 258 when he was martyred? He had preached the gospel by his love for the poor, his courage for those under torture by fire, and his unswerving love for Christ. So this is one of my favorite quotes that I had heard when I was growing up about the saints. So St. Lawrence, when he was accepting his death, he was roasted on a gridiron, and he accepted it with such patience and heroic courage that he even was joking with his tormentors. And so when he was burned to the crisp on one side, he said, I'm done on this side, turn me over. That was a story I learned when I was a child, and I don't forget that. I'm done on this side, turn me over. Now that is dying for love of Christ. Now how many of us complain and whine about even small things? But if we're doing all these things for Christ, even being grilled on a fire for Christ, we could be like St. Lawrence. I'm done on this side, turn me over. Wow. That's a sense of humor. So Christian writer Prudentius saw Lawrence's suffering and death as the catalyst for the conversion of the city of Rome. So the Emperor Constantine publicly honored Lawrence's grave with a chapel where St. Lawrence outside the walls stands today. Oh my goodness, that's hard to maintain a sense of humor when you are being burned on a grill. Well, think about how much we complain about. Think about how much we can offer up. We can offer up our sufferings for Christ. All right, good news to announce this morning. We're very proud of our great affiliate in Mobile, Alabama, Archangel Radio. Guess what? They recently won the 2019 Nappy Award for Best AM Radio Station. How's that in Mobile, Alabama? Best AM Radio Station. This annual award by a local mobile magazine honors the best of the community in a number of categories. So our congratulations to our longtime partner in Mobile, Archangel Radio. Their hard work in producing local programming and presenting EWTN radio programming, that's obviously paid off for their listeners with the Nappy Award for 2019. How cool is that? So that's not just of Catholic radio stations, of which there may only be one or two. Most cities have one. It'd be unusual. Well, very few of them have two. But to have that station to be the winner of their local award for Best AM Radio Station, congratulations to them. Archangel Radio in Mobile, Alabama. And call in, whether you're from Mobile, Alabama, or from Texas, or California, or Maine, or Massachusetts, or Minnesota, or Australia, and you're listening at a different time of day, your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. You give us a call with your question or problem. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. My background is in family life education. I have a master's degree in health education and teaching certificates in health, science, physical education, and theology. And I've raised five kids to adulthood. I was the second oldest of nine children. So my family, my cousins, my brothers and sisters, we've probably had most of those problems that you have. So it's probably not going to be too strange, but we hope to help you, so give me a call with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Chat with Melissa. Tell her your name, where you're calling from, and the topic of your problem. She'll type it on my screen, and I'll know when it's your turn to come on the air. So then you just wait on the line. Listen on your phone line. Don't listen to the radio because we have a little time delay, and you won't hear me when I call your name. So when I call your name, it means, hey, you can feel like we're chatting on the phone, but you're on the air then. Tell me your problem, and I'll help you through that step by step. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. I've been reading a lot of articles this week about mortal sin, about confession. I read the article, How Many People Will Be Saved by Father David Nix, which is pretty disturbing when you see all the quotes of the saints. Maybe we'll have time for that later. But I thought if it's time to get ready for school, it's August. Oh, August, that's right. A reminder of last week. It's 20 years on Catholic radio for me this month, 1999 to 2019, 20 years on Catholic radio. So I'm excited about that, and I invite you to celebrate me with me here this month. Anyway, back to the school thing. Okay, so we've got everybody getting ready for school, teachers, catechists, teens, parents, students, they're buying school supplies, they're getting books. But I was thinking, are we spiritually ready for school? How many of you take all your kids to confession beforehand? Well, there was a priest in our area that had an article in his bulletin about that. Go to confession if you want your kids to be saints, because we need God's grace to allow him to make us into saints. He desires us to be saints, and grace is that gift from God through Jesus' love to help us on our path to heaven, sainthood. But prayer and the sacraments are the primary sources of this life-giving grace. We're not going to pick it up at the department store or the discount store or in the school supply center. So by praying and receiving the sacraments, we avail ourselves of this generous gift of grace, thereby making us holy and helping us become saints. So are we preparing for the fall, teachers, catechists, teens, parents, students, by going out and buying supplies? Or are we going to confession? Because our path to heaven, our path to sainthood, is like climbing a mountain. If you've done some of that over the summer, maybe you're on vacation right now. This steep and daunting precipice with rocks and steep inclines and sometimes scorching heat and sometimes great thirst. And the ascent up this mountain creates in us this unquenchable thirst. So if it were never satisfied, that ascent in this strife for holiness would be impossible. So the sacraments provide this living water. Imagine yourself being so thirsty. This living water of grace that satisfies our thirst, refreshes our soul, gives us the grace to forge onward. And not only are the sacraments grace-filled, they're necessary for our salvation. Now, last week I received so many emails from people who wanted copies of the article that I read spread out throughout the show, the 10 things you want to tell your child before they go to high school. Well, I sent out all the copies of people who requested it, but a lot of people responded and said that this would help any teen, anybody getting ready for school. So now we have to not just practically help them, but this week we're going to talk about getting them ready for the sacrament of reconciliation that will fill them with grace and give them the strength they need to get through the school year, no matter what grade they might be in. There are going to be little temptations. There are going to be people that are mean to them. There are going to be things happening throughout the day where they might want to just fall into sin, whether it's laziness or meanness or sassing back or even bad attitudes. And so if we foster this love for the sacrament of reconciliation in our children when they're young and remind them that this is what makes them strong, it reconciles their relationship with God, they turn away from Him when they sin, and we receive His mercy and His strength. Remember, Sister Faustine said, "My mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world." Then they're strong enough to face going to school. Think about all the different temptations that your kids will have. Think about all the temptations you will have. Even just getting out the door, how difficult it's going to be. Do we want our kids strong? Maybe even the week before school starts, go to daily Mass together for that extra grace, for that extra strength. So we want our kids to be strong in their faith, have a well-formed conscience as adults, actually help them form their consciences, formation of conscience, so they have good moral judgment and they're enlightened by their well-formed conscience is an important thing to do as well in August to get our kids ready for school. So if we want our kids to be well-formed, virtuous, obedient to God in their adult years, we have to guide their souls into a loving relationship with Jesus in these formative years. So even in their weakness, no matter which temperament they are, whether they're the thinker, the walker, the watcher, the talker, or the doer, there's one that's going to be harder to get out of bed. There's one that's going to be ready to step on his brother or sister on the way out the door. There's another one that's going to be standing back and watching. There's another one that's just going to be sitting there chatting instead of getting ready and running late only because they were so busy socializing. But know that they're going to fall again and again, but each time they fall, Jesus is going to be there in the sacrament of reconciliation, waiting with love and mercy to pick them up. We can receive extra graces by going to daily Mass. So how are we getting ready for school during August? It's more than buying book bags and paper, isn't it? It's preparing our souls. It's strengthening our kids with the graces that they need. So of all these articles that I've been reading, and maybe if we have time between calls today, I'll give you some little tips from different ones. I was reading that 10-point gossip test and how to never gossip again, also by that was in the National Catholic Register recently, and I thought, that's a good one for girls getting ready for school. But think about that. How are we preparing ourselves spiritually? How are we preparing our children spiritually? Whether we're a parent, student, teacher, catechist, adult, teen, how are we really getting ready in August? Well, God bless you. Give me a call with your question or personal problem. I'm here for the next 2 hours. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This COVID-19 situation has affected us all, including your local Catholic radio station. We need your help to make sure this vital missionary work continues. No gift is too small, and together we can make a difference. So please make a donation to support the work of this station today. Thank you so much, and may God bless you for your generosity. And we'll be back with your calls in just a moment. Hello, this is Colleen Kelly Mast of Mast Appeal. When Jesus tells us to evangelize the whole world, you may wonder, what can I do if I can't travel all over? Well, here's your opportunity. Be a partner in the evangelizing mission of Ave Maria Radio. Did you know that all the funding for the production and initial distribution of Mast Appeal and all the Ave Maria Radio programs comes from you? Yes. We depend on you since this is the only place we can fundraise. Yet Ave Maria Radio shares these shows free to millions around the world by giving them to EWTN to broadcast. So, those of you who listen to and give to WDEO, WMAX, and at the Ave Maria Radio app, you are our partners in evangelizing the world, and our good Lord knows it. Ave Maria Radio is important to your spiritual growth, and we need your support now, since we can't come together for our spring pledge drive. So give whatever you can at AveMariaRadio.net.
How can we regard John the Baptist? In a sense, John the Baptist is the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit even before his birth, when Elizabeth reported to Mary that the babe in her womb leaped for joy as Mary arrived pregnant with Jesus to visit and assist her cousin. John the Baptist was the Elijah promised to come before the arrival of the Messiah. He also completes the cycle of prophets that began with Elijah. In John, the Catholic Catechism tells us, the Holy Spirit begins the restoration of man to the divine holiness, prefiguring what he would achieve with and through Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Please visit us at our website, www.maltausa.org.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mast Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Good morning. Saturday morning on Catholic Radio. This is Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Melissa's here to take your calls this morning. Give us a call. All right, starting off here with Maggie from Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Maggie. How can I help you today? Hello, Maggie? Oh, okay. We just lost Maggie. All right. Is Helen ready on line three then? Oh, my goodness. We're losing calls here. All right. We were chatting beforehand about the preparing our kids for school, and educating their conscience is an important thing. The Catechism says conscience must be informed and moral judgment enlightened. Now, a good conscience is an important thing to send them off to school with. A well-formed conscience is upright and truthful. It formulates its judgment according to reason, so they should have some common sense in today's day and age, in conformity with the true good willed by the wisdom of the Creator. Okay, what's going to happen if you don't help your kids form their consciences before they go to school? Whether it's a public school or even private schools, you know, as well as I do, a lot of brainwashing is going on, and people are not conforming conscience with the true good willed by the wisdom of the Creator. So education, preparing for school in August, is helping them educate their conscience. It's indispensable for human beings who are subjected to negative influences, which is almost everybody that steps outside their holy Catholic door or even turns on the TV or lets any influences from the media. And they're tempted by sin and they'd want to prefer their own judgment and to reject authoritative teachings. Help them with a well-formed conscience. That was from the Catechism, the Catholic Catechism, Article 1783. Forming your conscience, another way to help prepare ourselves for the school year here. August 10th, it's coming up. Some schools start this week. Some start the week after. Some start after Labor Day. But everybody's out there getting ready for school. Let's get our souls ready for school. Okay, Maggie is back. Sorry that we dropped the call. Maggie, welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Good morning. Thank you for my call. And I just want to find out what steps can I take to enter into my passion, enter into the passion of Christ eagerly. I was at a Mass the other day. I try to get to daily Mass, and the priest was talking about how Jesus willingly enter into his passion, and we as Catholics should enter up into our passion eagerly if we would speak, because we would the graces from above would be countless. But I'm going through a separation right now with my husband after 24 years of abuse, and he had a child out of wedlock. And I've always kept it to myself because, you know, I would offer it up, go to the chapel, get to Mass. I never wanted to share it with my children. But now they are really shocked about it, and he actually shares with them that, you know, I left the marriage. I actually, even though I have the evidence, I haven't provided it to my children. But now they're keeping my grandchildren away, and I spend every moment of my life taking them to Mass, adoration, and it's just very painful for me not to be able to be near my grandchildren, so I'm struggling with that.
Yeah, I bet. Now, did you say he had a child out of wedlock?
Yes, yes.
And he's been unfaithful for the whole 24 years?
Yes, for 24 years, and very abusive. And I never shared it with anyone. So to everyone else, they're confused, and they're shocked, and they're surprised.
Yeah.
But he's whining and dining them and buying them.
I know. And this is unfortunately one of the traits of that abusive personality, that they have this wonderful, charming side that fools everyone into believing they are this great, mannerly gentleman hero, and that who could believe anything bad of me that goes on the side. I've known men like that. This is not the only person to have to act that way. Okay, what we want to do is look at this in the light of Christ's love. And one, as you say, how do I enter into the passion? Yes, as we talked about St. Lauren's feast being today, he just says, turn me over, I'm burned on this side. Obviously, you've burned on that side. And here you are, Maggie, I admire you for asking for that. How do I enter into this suffering, which is the school of real love for Christ? And we know that he sometimes allows us to be inflicted by various wounds so we can either offer this up to him or learn to love as he loved. And so one scripture that comes to me would be Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. However, out of justice, I think to repair your good name, whatever is left of it, as you're looking at the bad guy, there is some justice that can be sought. We know that Jesus didn't seek justice when he was unfairly crucified. He was unfairly crowned with thorns. He was unfairly scourged. And he just took it. He just took it in, knowing that he was offering all this for our sins. So one thing you can do is offer all of this pain up for the sins of your husband, for the salvation of the souls of all your children. But on the other hand, that you still can seek justice in this situation. I would not make announcements about it and not put down your husband, but I would say one-on-one with your children. First of all, how old are the children, Maggie?
They're 35, 34, and a 29-year-old. And even when I took my 29-year-old to dinner yesterday, she's asking me questions, and I feel like she's setting me up. I see that he just sent her a couple $100s. I see in the account he's sending my son a couple $1,000. I'm like afraid to even have a relationship with my children. My concern because I don't have my grandchildren around me, and the way the world is, they don't have this continued. We would pray one decade of the rosary every day, going to school. We would talk about it. We would put it down in layman's terms. My grandchildren would love it.
Why are they estranged to you? Are they treating you as the crazy fringe person, or like why are the grandchildren unable to see you?
Yes, I left, and now we're financially unstable. You know, because I can say that I pretty much enabled my children throughout my life because I gave them everything they wanted. Now they're like, how are we going to pay our credit cards? How are we? And I said, wow. I said, I'd rather just live in a room. I find more use and purpose in doing, you know, charity work than, you know, we had a huge home and, you know, we had, you know, parties and,
it looked great from the outside. Well, Maggie, I think that you can speak with your children in truth without trying to harm your husband's reputation, but you can let them know that things are not always as they appear, that there's been a lot of suffering throughout the year. The reason that you left, they'll have to trust you that it was good, that there was abuse and unfaithfulness that seems absurd because everyone sees their dad as a hero. But just say you never know what really goes on in private. And I'm going to ask you to trust me that my reasons were good and know that I love you and know that we need to be together in love as a family. And ask them each individually and separately to work at having a relationship with you. Tell them that you want to be with them when you can. You want to offer them both your prayers, advice, companionship, and love as you can. And build that bridge to be closer to their family. So out of justice, you can do some things to help bridge that gap. God bless you, Maggie.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Life sure is different right now. Things we've taken for granted, like shaking hands, going to work, being with friends, and even going to Mass, are being challenged. Ave Maria Radio is responding to the COVID-19 coronavirus by playing the Mass each and every single day. The Holy Mass will air Monday through Fridays at noon and at 8 a.m. on the weekends. You may not be able to go to Mass, but you can participate in the Mass by listening to Ave Maria Radio on the air, on your computer at AveMariaRadio.net, or on the Ave Maria app on your smart device.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, how can we experience the joy of the resurrection when we are immersed in so much sadness? The women and men who came to care for Jesus' body will provide some answers.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mass Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem for the next 2 hours is 877 573 877-5 Pep Talk with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith, struggling with family decisions, work decisions, moving decisions, life decisions, and still forming our consciences and preparing here for school, the school year, knowing that we want to educate our conscience. It's a lifelong test. The Catechism says from the earliest years it awakens the child to the knowledge and practice of the interior law recognized by the conscience. So if you have not formed your conscience well, it's time to do so now, and reading the Catechism will help you do that. Getting to our phones, our next caller is Helen from Warren, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Welcome to the show, Helen. How can I help you today?
Good morning, Doctor. A month ago, my sister's house caught on fire, and she lost her 18-year-old daughter.
And, oh, my.
She has four kids, yeah. And the oldest daughter had 30% burns, and she's in the hospital. The house totally burned down, and it happened like morning,
no.
at 8:15 in the morning, yeah. Now, my niece, she's like my daughter's age and the best friends, and spent most of half of her life at my house.
Oh,
I'm trying to make sense out of it.
Yeah.
We can't believe that. Yeah, we can't believe that a Christian is gone. She's just like gone, 18 years old. You bring them, you raise them, you take care of them, and then they're not there anymore. I just try to make sense out of it. I kind of, you know, try to talk to myself and heal myself away. And I want to tell you that I'm semi okay right now versus like
good
a month ago or so. But It's hard, you know.
Oh, it is so
hard. We have a lot of cousins and nieces and nephews, and she's not there. We celebrated the trio's graduation party without her, and I don't know. Now her oldest is in the hospital. Thank God she's healing fast. The hospital was surprised how fast she's healing. It looks like she took all the strength from her sister. And she's very good in a good spirit. She's very in a very good spirit. So it's just I feel so bad for my sister. This is my baby sister. My sister and her husband is just like I don't know what to do to make them feel better.
Okay, Helen, the reason this doesn't make sense is because it doesn't make sense. We can't rationalize away our grief. You can try to, and I can see you're one of those people that is trying to think and reason through everything, and that is good.
Yeah.
It's really helpful as a human being to reason through. But this is unreasonable. It's one of those results of original sin. It's a horrible accident. It's a bad thing that happens in the world that is unfair. To lose her daughter in a fire, her other to be burned. So for you to even be in as good a shape as you are right now is wonderful. I commend you by the grace of God that you have had the strength to get through this and to rationalize through some of it. But right now, your sister might not have that same approach that you do. So what can you do to help her? She might be trying to rationalize, but you can't rationalize grief away, especially at the loss of a child. Even when my son died of a heart attack when he was 29, there's no reason except that he inherited cardiovascular disease. And it doesn't make sense. The death of a young person, especially in a fire like this, such a tragic death, it doesn't make sense. So we can try to think of good things or think of what good can come. And we know that God can make good out of anything, but it just doesn't make sense. And that's why we just need to accept this suffering and to help your sister through her grief. And in these wounds, this is how we become another Christ. Archbishop Fulton Sheen has always said, do not waste your suffering on yourself. You know, so when we think about the wounds that we suffer and we offer it up for someone else, even for the spirits of your own sister, and we realize that holiness includes suffering. But in this instance, we can't always think through and figure out why this happened or how to fix it in time, and whether your sister's time is just within a few weeks or a few months or whether it takes a year, there are things you can do to help her that keep her from wallowing in self-pity. And that's one thing that we don't want to do with our grief, is feel sorry for ourselves and make it worse than it already is. When my oldest son died, my youngest was told by his spiritual director, don't let the devil take a hold of your grief. So it sounds as though, Helen, you have already achieved that, that you're already looking for how to help others, and I commend you for that. But you're still going to have to go through this human process of being sad, letting go, knowing that it doesn't make sense, maybe crying with your sister. Maybe she just needs to sit there and cry. You sit in the house. You talk about the memories. You process all those memories with your head and look through the pictures and just be sad. And not that it's the last time you'll be sad, but just experience that sadness and say, for some unknown reason, we have to move on with our lives, that God has left us here to move on and pick up with His grace a step at a time to help your other niece heal, to work your way through of what they have to do, the practical aspects of using the whatever insurance money or finding the housing that she needs. But help her through those steps by just being there with her, being there for her. Making sense of it is not going to be logical, because it doesn't make sense. It's a true injustice, one of the evil things that happens in the world as a result of original sin. So being there for her, giving her strength, giving her support, helping her through her grief, whether it's crying with her or having fun with her. She's going to need to just rejoice sometimes, doing something silly or fun or something that uses human energy, whether it's laughter, which again, Archbishop Fulton Sheen was always so good at telling wonderful jokes, some good clean comedy, a walk outside where you can see the sun now in the summertime. You can see the sun, you can look at the sky and trees. So those different kinds of things that help lift up people's spirits, happy, holy, good music, again, receiving the sacraments, so you can help her step by step to not wallow in self-pity, but to experience her grief and take step by step to help get her spirits up. So be there with her throughout this process so you can both heal together. You know, as you said, your niece was with you a lot. You just can't believe that she's gone. It doesn't make sense. So we can rationalize as much as we want, but it's one of those things that is unexplainable. It's a sad thing. It's a time to work through our grief slowly but surely and know that God's grace is here to strengthen us through every situation. And He can bring good out of it, and a lot of the good is going to be the strength that you and your sister and the rest of the family grow in, that maybe you can offer compassion and sympathy to others when they experience things like this as well. So God bless you in this sadness, and may He be with you and fill you with His deep joy through this difficult grief. Time of grief. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal right after this message.
Jesus is the light in the darkness. Renewal Ministries, Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck invite you to join them for The Gathering, a free live stream only event this Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. Ralph and Peter focus on the hope and encouragement so needed today. They'll answer the questions, what is God saying and how can I respond? The event will also feature praise and worship, as well as intercessory prayer. Go to renewalministries.net this Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. That's renewalministries.net.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord. Our relationship to the church. The precepts of the church. Our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective, on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mass Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Good morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. Melissa's sitting there at Domino Farms at Ave Maria Radio Studio, ready to take your call, 877-573-7825, for some help. On Saturday mornings, live, as you're trying to live out your faith in today's very confused world, give me a call. I'd love to help you. Our next caller this morning is Doug from Florida, listening on the EWTN website. Wonderful. Thanks for listening. Doug, how can I help you today?
Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
Well, long story short, my wife and I have been Catholic since we got married almost about 28 years ago, but we were not married in the church. Both married to Protestants one time before, and we were married and divorced. And we got married, and to tell you the truth, I didn't expect to get married, but I did. And we had a daughter, and now we have three grandchildren.
Okay.
And the reality, you know, I won't blame the title of the church, but the reality, the catechism is a little less than adequate, I should say. And I never heard about marriage. Never heard about it in the church. I know that sounds crazy now, but but that's the truth. And anyway, I've heard in your program and also in other programs. Maybe I'm just listening now. I don't know. I'm 62 years old, and in reality, I think maybe I listen a little better than I did when I was younger. And I heard it on your radio program. Your answers very on point questions about this issue, and I appreciate it. Anyway, long story short, I called my priest, and a very fine priest, and I went to him and explained it all to me, and he listened to our situation, and he basically told me that what I need is to be consolated. Validation, I think the word is.
Okay, Doug, anyway, it's hard for me to understand. What did the priest tell you that you needed to do for your marriage?
He needed my wife and I to gather up all the paperwork.
Of your marriage? So that you can have your marriage blessed in the church?
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
All right. All right. Let me respond to that.
That's what we're doing.
Okay, so
we take the paperwork to the priest in the morning, and have to go through the tribunal. But when they're through with it, then we'll get married in the church. In the meantime, we're not taking communion. You know, and of course we're living together as brother and sister, really, at this point. And it's actually, I think it's a healthy thing for us, but it's also the right thing to do. And it just drives me crazy that I didn't understand this before.
It's frustrating to you. Okay, it sounds like you're talking from outside, so I'll try to respond to that. So you're right. It does seem like there's a lot to do, and it does seem like that's a little bit crazy, as you told the call screener. When you're trying to validate a marriage in the church and get it blessed, it reminds you that the church takes the sacrament of matrimony very seriously. When you say these words, "I will love you and honor you all the days of my life," or "we will offer our lives to each other until death do we part, in better and worse, in sickness and in health, in richer and poorer," the church takes those vows very seriously. And so the paperwork is a lot. They want to see if you're going to get married in the church. You know, were you baptized? Where were you baptized? You've got to gather that information. When you said it was all over the country, you're right. You need to, like, where were you confirmed? And if that was at a different place, they want to see officially, just as if you were getting a passport, they would want to know that you were born in the United States and you have a birth certificate. Well, the church says to, in order to be married, we want, because we take this so seriously, we want to look at your eligibility for marriage, make sure you weren't married invalidly before, or have another marriage out there, that you were baptized, that you can receive this sacrament of grace. And so, because they also take marriage so seriously, there also are different rules to enter marriage. And so living as brother and sister is one of those that says if you want to be in the state of grace as you enter the sacrament of matrimony, even if you were legally married, to live as if you are not married until, because you acknowledge that marriage is a sacrament and you've not yet received that sacrament, that they do ask you to abstain and live as brother and sister. So I was happy to hear, Doug, that you said that you think that some of it's a good thing. I've heard that from numerous people who have abstained in preparation for their sacramental marriage or the blessing of their marriage and found that it was amazing. And they also found then that the return of that renewal, that physical renewal of their marriage vows after the blessing, is also an amazing experience to then perform the marriage act with grace instead of just without grace. And so I've heard that there's a big difference in that. So living as brother and sister right now, not taking communion because your lifestyle is a statement that that's not in union with the church, are all ways to help you prepare for the wonderful blessing of the sacrament of matrimony. So it is hard to understand why so many things are required of you, but if you understand, it's because the sacrament is so great. The payoff, then, is grace. Imagine God's life in your soul. At every time you face a temptation in your marriage, then you also have the actual grace, not just the sanctifying grace, which is amazing. The sanctifying grace, God's life in your soul, is present then in your sacrament. You have this sacramental grace, and then the actual grace in each moment when you want to maybe say something snappy or roll your eyes or be too lazy or not do what you need to do to be a good husband, you call upon the grace of God. And God will be there for you. The angels will be attending to you. And so the sacrament of matrimony is an amazing experience of God's life in your relationship. So it's not just two human beings. So when you do run out of love, it is then God's love that flows through you to your spouse. So even if you've been married a couple decades outside of the church, you will find that being married in the church, even though the rules seem to be maybe not understandable at this point in time, and the paperwork is a lot, that it's because the church treasures this sacrament. They treasure marriage. They want you to be well prepared. You probably have gone through different, maybe some psychological tests, or at least a compatibility survey, like the Focus survey. And they want to help you prepare. They want to make sure you are eligible for a valid marriage. And so maybe the next 20 or 30 years of your life, you'll be able to experience this beautiful sacrament of matrimony with and through the grace of God. So it will all be worth it, Doug. It just seems like a lot now trying to go through it. But know that God knows what he's doing. He knows us. He knows our human nature. He knows that we need the sacrament of matrimony more than he does. But also so does the whole culture, the whole world. More grace within marriage, more love within marriage is all possible through this beautiful sacrament of matrimony. So congratulations on your upcoming renewal of your civil marriage through this sacramental blessing. So God bless you. All this paperwork and decisions that you're making will be worth it. Thanks for the call, Doug. Maybe that'll inspire others, too, that are wondering, oh, should I go through all this just to make a marriage blessed in the church? It's not just to. It's to be aligned with sacramental grace, to fill your marriage with God's love. We're up against break here. You give us a call, too. We're here for another hour and 15 minutes on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Hang on, Al from Indiana. We'll be back to chat with you right after this message. We have some thank yous here for our wonderful Ave Maria Radio partners and donors. And if you've not already made your pledge, go online to the Ave Maria Radio app and do what these people just did. Thank you to Barbara from St. John, Indiana. Thank you to Richard from Bloomingdale, Illinois. Thanks, David from Plymouth, Michigan. Thank you to Julie from Lincoln, Nebraska. And thank you to Amy from Huron, Ohio. Thank you all for your generosity. You keep our station alive.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. On the morning of Jesus' resurrection, there was a lot of running taking place. The women, having seen the empty tomb, ran back to the disciples, Peter and John. Having heard the women's story, ran to the tomb. And in the end, of course, all the apostles ran into the world to announce this greatest news of history. We too must run. The victory of life over death is definitive, and yet it is still unfolding. We fight the power of death as we defend human life, especially the unborn. It is time to run, to announce the gospel of life with vigor, and to intervene to save the unborn with urgency. Fear paralyzes and slows people down, but confidence in the victory of the risen Christ causes us to run and to fulfill our mission. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor. In honor of Noreen Schroeder, who is steadfast in her Catholic faith, and in memory of her husband John, her son Jim, and her granddaughter Megan, please offer a Hail Mary for her departed loved ones. You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mast Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Good morning and welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show here for the next hour with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. As I celebrated 20 years on Catholic radio this month. It was August 1999, and now it's August 2019. And so it's exciting to be here for 20 years. Let's pray for 20 more. It's been wonderful to be with you all this time. Right now, it's August. We're preparing for school. Whether you're a teacher, a catechist, a teen, a parent, a student, even grandparents are helping sometimes maybe buy the school supplies. But how are we preparing our consciences? How are we preparing our souls for the school year? One is by educating our conscience. Prudent education of your conscience teaches virtue. It prevents or cures fear. It doesn't create fear. It prevents selfishness and pride and resentment arising from these feelings of complacency that are born of human weakness and faults. That's from the Catechism, 1784. The education of conscience guarantees freedom and engenders peace of heart. It helps, I'm adding this, it helps your kids avoid confusion is what that means. So if they're complacent because of human weakness and faults, they educate their conscience better. They know how to act when it's time to make a good decision. You give us a call. Maybe you have a well-formed conscience, or maybe you don't have a well-formed conscience and you need some help doing that. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. Maybe you're trying to help someone else form their conscience, someone you're responsible for. Okay, Al from Indiana. Welcome to the show, Al. How can I help you today?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Congratulations for 20 years of helping out people out there, reaching out. God has blessed you with the years of a lot of people, so that's a big blessing there. I'm concerned as a grandparent, you know, because I bought my grandkid an Xbox, and now with the studies of what these kids are you know, the weak-minded kids going off in these shootings and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're being fed by these games and stuff they play. Mm-hmm. I try a little bit of time I get with my grandson, I try to explain to him that this is not real, because in reality, you don't go through this. So, you know, because I'm really cut with time with him, so I tell him, you know, I bought him a military game. I go, this is military. This is what guys actually got to go through in military. Play this game, and you can see the difference with the game you're playing, because you cannot go through a car, through walls, and go through all the stuff where you're going through the military, you're going going up and robbing, you're doing this stuff. That's not reality, you know? But I don't get much time from them, because my daughter, my stepdaughter, you know, because she had problems with her husband, and I try to interfere, and I understand the Bible tells us that a person is supposed to separate themselves from their parents, and they're supposed to take their marriage.
Right. You know, your father and mother cleave to your wife. Got it.
Correct. So you know, I'm trying to, you know, I overstepped my boundaries with my daughter, but it hurt me a lot for sure what it went through. But now she has totally cut me out with my grandkids and my granddaughter.
She's cut you off?
My granddaughter's 14. And she cut me off totally. My granddaughter's 14. She's going to go to high school. And now the small town we live in, Crestview, Florida, they have metal detectors in the high schools now because of the kids and the stuff that's going on.
Well, it sounds like you have several concerns, Al. It sounds like, and we'd like to get some of these answered anyway before the music starts playing here at the top of the hour. The first question that your caller had, or that you told the call screener, was about the video games, Xbox, and you felt guilty because they're playing these violent games. And it sounds like you've got some other concerns as well, so we might have to hang you off the top of the hour. But let me respond to that one, first of all. Do you have a relationship with them, or are these the grandkids that are being cut off from you, the ones that you bought the Xbox for?
No, my grandson is not using a channel. I was cut off from him. He barely once in a while he sneaks up, he calls me, and he talks to me on the phone. He'll call me once in a while.
Well, if your concern is about the violent video games, that can be remedied, actually, because you can do a search or go to the store if you're qualified or you aren't familiar with searching online for the best non-violent video games for Xbox. And there are several of them, like City Skyline, where they can build their own city. There's one called Rime that's about puzzles, R-I-M-E. There's one called Stardew Valley. There's Forza Horizon 3. There's a really funny one called Jackbox Party Pack 3 that's hilarious. It's like trivia and acting. And even if you could play these with them on the phone or in person, or if you said, I'm trading in these games that I got you, even though you explained the one military one, maybe leave the one that's there if you feel you explained it to enough to resolve your conscience, and say, let's trade in the violent games, and I'll get you these for gifts, and give them, you know, at each event that you would normally give them a gift, give them one of the games that is a building or mentally challenging game. And so that way you don't have to feel bad about violent video games. So, Al, if you want to hang on over the break, we can maybe address some of those other issues as well. But I wanted to get to that first one first before we stop. So hang on, Al. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. And give us a call, too. We're here for another hour at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we'll be back with our second hour in just a few moments.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mast Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, this second hour, is the same number as it was the first hour, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. My background is in family life education. You can learn more about my work at my website, sexrespect.com. And if you want to learn some of the follow-up information from the show, maybe a guest we've had or a book that's recommended or novena or prayer, you can look at my Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mass. If you're on Facebook, go to Colleen Kelly Mass. There's one L in Colleen. The article that I read last week about 10 things we want your high school student to know when they start high school, and the week before reference to courage after we had someone called in that needed that, and the different novenas that we've had or guests that we've had, the healing after abortion website we talked about a few weeks ago, Catholic Guide to Dating After Divorce, just swing back and through there and my Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mass, and you'll see some of the references. And even that novena to the Surrender to Divine Will last fall that literally turned my life upside down. I'll never forget that day when somebody called in and told us about that novena. I said, oh, I'll pray it and let you know how it turns out. Well, it's more than a novena to me. I couldn't even talk for about 3 months. So novenas, prayers, articles, references, books, websites, a lot of things to help you there at my Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mast. And you can also email me right here at Ave Maria Radio. Mast Appeal, the name of the show, mastappeal@avemariaradio.net. mastappeal@avemariaradio.net. And thanks to EWTN for syndicating this program for Ave Maria Radio. We've got some good things coming up here today. Those of you that listen to the EWTN feed all day know that after this show is a fairly new show with medical information from a Catholic perspective. So after this show today, Doctor with Dr. Tom McGovern, Dr. Chris Stroud, and Dr. Andrew Mullally. Today they have an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Paul Brayton, discuss foot and ankle health and injuries, including habits and shoes to wear, and how to decrease your risk of injuries and those kind of things. And then at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, the Church Alive will be repeated if you weren't up at 7 o'clock this morning Eastern Time, especially those of you out west. If you didn't hear this morning's Church Alive with Brian Patrick, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and Father Thomas Petrie, they're talking about today the Supreme Knight, Carl Anderson, discussing the Knights of Columbus Supreme Convention theme of unity, and Baltimore Archbishop William Laurie addresses the political rhetoric and Catholic solutions to the problems in his city of Baltimore. So stay tuned to EWTN Radio the rest of the day. And if you have a question or personal problem, call now. I'm here for the next hour here on Mast Appeal. This is Colleen Kelly Mast offering free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. There are lines open waiting to hear from you. If you called earlier, you got a busy signal, or you think, oh, I'll never get on, yes, you will. There are lines open waiting to hear from you now this second hour. 877-573-7825. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. And we've been talking about getting ready for school, whether it's accepting suffering, we've talked about that, or accepting, embracing your martyrdom, even if it isn't a bloody martyrdom, like St. Lawrence, whose feast is today. He said, I'm done on this side, turn me over. He was joking with his tormentors. Now, not many of us can laugh when we're being tormented, but St. Lawrence, so full of the love of God, knowing probably that he was on his way to heaven, it doesn't mention he had a vision like St. Stephen did, but for him, joking with his tormentor, he accepted this martyrdom with patience and heroic courage, and he said, I'm done on this side, turn me over. Wow. So in our wounds, we become another Christ. With hope of heaven, we can accept any of the trials of our life. Sometimes with joy. I remember singing through my son's wake, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Just trying to convince myself that the joy of the Lord is my strength, because I was just trying to stand up. And so we need to stay in the state of grace. We never know when we need to make a withdrawal from our spiritual bank account, because those difficult times in life will come upon us and hopefully strengthen us so that we can help others. Also preparing for school to start here in August, we are forming our conscience. The Catechism, Article 1785, says, in the formation of conscience, the Word of God is the light for our path. That's a good way to get ready for the school year to start. We must assimilate it in faith and prayer and put it into practice. We also must examine our conscience before the Lord's cross. We're assisted by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know what those are: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Still have those memorized since sixth grade. Aided by the witness or advice of others, and guided by the authoritative teaching of the church. So if you're questioning a teaching of the church or struggling with how to live one out in today's difficult world, you can give me a call as well. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, to call in on today's show with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith. And last but not least, before we go back to Al, we've got an announcement I want to repeat this second hour that we mentioned the first hour. We're proud of our great affiliate in Mobile, Alabama, Archangel Radio, and they recently won the 2019 NAPI Award for Best AM Radio Station. So this is the annual award. My local Mobile magazine in Mobile, Alabama, that honors the best of the community in a number of different categories. The best radio station went to Archangel Radio. So congratulations to our longtime partner in Mobile, Archangel Radio. Their hard work in producing local programming and presenting EWTN radio programming that's paid off for their listeners with the NAPI Award for 2019. Congratulations to you. And you give us a call, too, with your question or personal problem as you're struggling to live out your faith, struggling with family, work, neighborhood, parish relationships. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Okay, before the top of the hour break, we were chatting with Al from Indiana, and I said, hang on, Al. You started with one question and then got into a whole lot more. So let's get into one more question you might have, Al. You were talking about being estranged from other family members. We already talked about how to solve the violent Xbox ideas that were coming into their home because you had bought them an Xbox, and you explained nicely that this is military and this isn't real life. Okay, now you're talking about estrangement. Al, are you back there on the air?
Yes, I am. I'm still here.
Okay, Al, it sounds like you had another question you wanted to address here with estrangement with family. Why don't you let me know what that is, and I'll see what I can do to help you.
Well, I'm a grandparent. I don't have much contact with my grandkids.
Okay.
But I want to be able to be some kind of influence to them in a good way.
Okay.
I pray for them in the morning and night time because basically put it on God's hands. God will take care of things.
Perfect.
You know? And it's just, we have a little bit of different times. You know, they criticized us when we were younger because we drank down the hose and we had that plain paint on us. But look what this young generation kind of put up with nowadays, you know?
Yep.
Nothing compared with the lead paint or the drinking out of the hose now.
So you're right, drinking out of the hose. Yeah, I didn't know that was a bad thing when I was growing up.
Yeah,
you know, we have bottled water. We would have laughed at bottled water, right? Back in the olden days, like, bottled water? Who would buy that? You can just drink out of the hose for free.
Bottled water. You know, but people don't see, you know, people want to see them blame God for everything. You know, God's fault because of the way things are. But where is God is this? We don't take blame that, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross because he suffered his pain. And who are we to think that we're not going to suffer? Who are we think we're not going to go through pain and hurt? You know what I mean? You know, it's sad that things happen, but I believe as a father or a dad as a parent and grandparents don't take responsibility for their wrongs, our generations of kids behind us will follow and pay for our pain and our hurt. And that's why I believe a lot of things are happening.
Okay.
People don't understand and ask for forgiveness.
All right. Well, I think I can see what your estrangement from your grandchildren is something that concerns you, and you have a lot of truth. So I've got an idea for you, Al, and that is with whatever influence you do have, which could be maybe through occasional emails, maybe through daily emails, maybe through a phone call once in a while, or even a good old snail mail letter. You could send little things to your grandchildren that help them understand truths. If you know what's going on in their life sometimes, and maybe they are suffering through something, maybe they're challenged by something, but maybe words of encouragement that you could get out of the different Psalms in the Bible or maybe different Proverbs in the Bible that might be teaching, send them maybe a little Bible verse or inspirational saying you might find that's in a poem in a library book, or if you do, use the internet, that there might be some different things on, you know, Facebook or Instagram or different, even posters on Pinterest, if you use Pinterest, to find something that can influence your grandchildren positively. What you just mentioned, Al, for example, blaming God, like we don't want to blame God for all kinds of suffering. And that might be a quote that you can find from a saint or a holy religious person that has written something about suffering, even some of the blessed, venerable people that are recently deceased from this past century might be able to offer you some different comments. But the lives of the saints would have advice for them about accepting suffering and not blaming God. The truths of the catechism might help them understand things. So if you have any feedback of what's going on in their lives, that you can send them a form of an inspiration, whether it's, as I said, an email, a little poster, a letter, something short, because young people today don't read a lot of long things, but every once in a while you might send them a little booklet or book if you know they're struggling with something or you just want to inspire them. So you can have an influence on them in a certain way. Even if they read the scriptures, say, why is Grandpa sending that to us, you know, and they throw it away, one of these times they're going to read it. One of these times they're going to be at a low point in their life where they're going to say, wow, how did Grandpa stay happy or positive or holy through these difficult things of life? And then they will look to you for that wisdom. And I think that's what grandpas are for here, to all grandparents, grandpas and grandmas too, and great-grandparents, to provide some of that life wisdom in a life that can be confusing because of a culture that does not have a well-formed conscience and a culture that is inflicting pain upon people. So whether you could offer them some words of comfort or advice or consolation or inspiration, you send them some scriptures and inspirational sayings in different ways, I think you can, besides sending them a better video game for their Xbox that isn't violent, you can have an influence on them, even if you're not seeing them regularly. So thanks for the call, Al. A lot of grandparents want to know what to do to help that situation, and now you've got some options. Thanks for the call. And God bless you. You give us a call, too. There are lines open waiting to hear from you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This COVID-19 situation has affected us all, including your local Catholic radio station. We need your help to make sure this vital missionary work continues. No gift is too small, and together we can make a difference. So please make a donation to support the work of this station today. Thank you so much, and may God bless you for your generosity. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment. Hello, this is Colleen Kelly Mast, reminding you to spread the good news throughout the world. If it wasn't for your generous donation to Ave Maria Radio, Mast Appeal would not be available for WDEO or WMAX or the Ave Maria Radio app, nor would it be available for the more than 380 Catholic radio stations around the country. When you partner with Ave Maria Radio, you are sharing the good news of our faith with millions of Catholics around the world. You are tuned in right now because you are spiritually uplifted by our broadcast. You are part of our radio family. Please spread the word to others about how Ave Maria Radio helps you in your life. Tell them about this station and about the Ave Maria Radio app for smartphones where they can listen to Mast Appeal anywhere. And of course, we need your financial support. We cannot hold our spring pledge drive this year, but we need the funds even more to keep our programming going. So please go to AveMariaRadio.net and donate now. And pray for us as we continue to spread the good news in this world today.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Stress is contagious, even for toddlers. A new study by the University of Cambridge found that even after controlling for temperament, the more stressed moms and dads felt, the more their toddlers tended to be clingy, tantruming, whiny, and defiant. In general, kids are terrific emotional barometers. Little ones especially are always taking their emotional cues from us, even when we think we're keeping it to ourselves. Parents' stress plays out in our facial expressions, our posture, our attitudes, and our ability to pay attention, all things our kids attend to closely. When our kids notice us feeling stressed, it makes them feel unsafe and causes them to act out. If your little one seems off, a good first step is asking yourself how you're managing your own stress level. An ounce of self-care can sometimes be worth a pound of discipline. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mass Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith on a day-to-day basis in this confusing world, and a mean world sometimes. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Leave your name and your city with our call screener and your topic with her, and we'll put you on the air when it's your turn. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. Our next caller is Mary from Ontario, Canada, listening on the EWTN app, so you can listen to this show anywhere you want. Thanks for calling, Mary. How can I help you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure.
And congratulations on 20 years on the radio.
20 years on Catholic Radio. I still can hardly believe it. It's gone pretty quickly. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, I've got good family friends, and one of them is in particular the brother who is very close to us in the family. And his sister, who we also know very well, she's had a bit of a tough life, and she finally found happiness and got married last year. And she had a terrible accident last week, and she fell off a balcony and died.
Oh, and, my.
Yeah, she was hanging up some balcony lights. And her husband was sleeping in the apartment. So
my goodness.
The police had come and knocked on the door and told them what had transpired.
Oh, how terrible.
So
my goodness.
He is, you know, we through the years, you know, we've remained very close, her brother, and with our family. Like, she was, he was actually a good friend of my daughter's since they were 15.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always trying to find his way in the faith, and always very shaky. But now my daughter was talking to him, and he's very bitter and angry at God. And we are going to the wake tomorrow and the funeral.
Goodness.
So I don't know what to say to him. I don't know what to say to him. So maybe I can ask them kind of help with that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I never look for, nobody looks forward to a funeral.
Oh, especially one so tragic as this.
This one.
Oh, it's different than, like, my dad dying of cancer after, you know, years and years, and you're slowly ready, and he lived a full life. But this is one of those horrible accidental that just punctures your heart.
Yeah.
And then you, Mary, your love for God makes you want to defend God since your brother's angry with him at this time, or her brother's angry with him at this time. So it's so good of you to even care about and think about his faith at this point in time. So, one, my sympathy to you. Then my heart, I mean, I can just feel this already in my chest. That's horrible. Oh, my goodness. It's a falling off a balcony while you're hanging lights. Oh, my goodness. It's just one of those things that you think is in a horrible movie and that you wonder how they made that up, and there it is real. Oh, my goodness. So it makes you sick to your stomach. One is that because we're human beings, we're going to miss this person. Funerals and wakes are difficult anyway. One, it is a situation that is so tragic and shocking, an accidental death of a young person. It's even more than double. It's even quadruple that agony of attending, because there's nothing good you can say about it. There really isn't. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing that happened. And yes, God can bring good out of it in time, as he always does, and he can turn around people's lives. But it's still a bad thing. It's still a tragic, tragic thing. So joining people in their sadness, joining them, not trying to cheer them up or anything, just say, this is horrible. Agree with them. Agree that this is a horrible thing. But if it comes to the point where they're saying, why did God make this happen, you could respond by saying, I don't think this is God's fault. God doesn't make horrible things happen. God's the one who tries to make good out of the horrible things that do happen. And so God, it's as hard as it might be to understand how good can come of this, right now we just have to grieve as a human being would grieve, be sad, know that it's horrible, but know that this is not God's fault. It's an absolute accident. She was hanging lights and lost her balance and fell off a balcony. It's not God's fault that there's gravity. That's things he put into motion when he created the earth. It's not God's fault that she maybe didn't have a precaution or a screen or thought that she could do that. Like, none of that is God's fault. And so we can't blame him for something that was a natural accident. And so it's not at the point of where you'd want to evangelize him, but it's the point right now where you want to just join people in their sadness and their grief. Give him comfort by being sad with him. If he wants to cry, if he wants you to put your arm around him, if he wants you just to sit there and maybe he wants you to say a prayer with him. Just say the St. Francis prayer for peace. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. You might be familiar with that, or you can look it up.
Yes.
Just ask it, or maybe there are some of the Psalms. Lord, why, you know, Lord, we cry out to you. Why is this happening? And the other thing that you can do to, as you're praying, because you said you were going to pray for everyone involved, Mary, is that pray for the priest who's going to say the funeral mass, or pray for the person that's going to speak at the wake service, because the people who serve the grieving, in this case, in most cases, know that this is a turning point of people's lives. I always, whenever I see a funeral procession, I pray for conversions. This is a time where people start thinking about the meaning of life and the meaning of death. It's a moment, it's an opportunity for conversion where they are open because they're searching for an answer. They don't understand what's going on, and they're open to the possibility of the Holy Spirit touching their heart, or a certain word they might hear during the homily, or a certain phrase of comfort that might come out during the Mass. And so I would pray that the people ministering, as well as the people there, have an opportunity to hear and see, experience the love of God so that they will know him and be comforted by him, and then the Holy Spirit can take off after that. So I wouldn't get into any arguments of apologetics, but just say, you know, that God doesn't make bad things happen. This was an accident, and you know it. And then join him in his grief, offer him sympathy and comfort and sadness in this tragic, tragic situation, just as you would, as if it wasn't an accident, but more so because of the situation that it was. And then later on, what you want him to remember, Mary, is not whether or not you were evangelizing him that day at the wake and funeral, but let him remember your love. You were the love of Jesus for him on this day where he needed it most. And then if something through the Holy Spirit can touch him, he might come back to you or be open later at a different time to discuss that. And if he does start to argue when you say, you know, God doesn't really make bad things happen like that, you know, it was an accident. And if he tries to argue then just put it off. Just say, you know what, we are way too sad right now to discuss that in this way. Let's talk about God 6 weeks from now, and then schedule a date for a cup of coffee with him, or, you know, go out and have a soda, or go for a walk in the park where you can clear your heads and see the clear blue sky and nature, and do that at a different time. So do not engage with him at this point in time. arguing about God. Just give him the sympathy that he needs and join him in his sadness. Experience that as human persons so that you can move through those stages of grief, which is right now shock. So God bless you. I'm so sorry for that situation as it occurs. And may you be an instrument of God's love to all those involved. Thanks for the call, Mary. You give us a call, too. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
The Bench Pub in Livonia is a new supporter of Ave Maria Radio during this COVID-19 crisis. During this difficult time, they're offering carryout and delivery service with special deals for vital service personnel. In addition to their famous burgers, the Bench Pub features award-winning homemade chili and fish and chips every day. The Bench Pub is located on 5 Mile west of Farmington Road in Livonia. Look for the Bench Pub on Facebook. They're here for you during this crisis. Mention Ave Maria Radio for a 10% discount. That's the Bench Pub in Livonia.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck on the diminishing influence of God on our culture and ultimately in us.
One of the reasons why the church today is not having the impact it can have and should have is we've accommodated too much to the culture. Sunday has just become another day. The whole culture has just sort of transformed it and said, hey, there's nothing special about it. Now, the world is going to do what the world's going to do. But Christians have to be wise and not be conformed to the patterns of this world. That's a pattern in this world that's destructive. It's destructive because, one, it offends God, first of all. God says, keep holy the Sabbath. Keep holy the Lord's Day. And so many people have stopped going to church. Why? Because they're just busy. Why? Doing what? Playing golf, watching sports. Jesus loves our sentiments and our feelings, but he also looks at us seriously and says, do you seek to obey my commandments? Where are my commandments in your life? Are they a burden? Are you afraid they're going to take away your fun in life and are going to ruin your weekend? Do you resist them? Or do you hunger after them? Are they a light for your path?
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mast Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Welcome to Mast Appeal. I think it's still morning in at least the U.S. time zones. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, here to help you today with your personal problems as you're trying to live out your faith. Give me a call. I'm here for the next half hour at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. You give us a call. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. And Yvette from Denver has been waiting a little bit. Welcome to the show, Yvette. How can I help you today?
Hi. So I'm a stay-at-home mom. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a stay-at-home mom of four girls. My oldest is 6 years old, and we're just going to go ahead and start homeschooling.
Oh, my goodness. Good for you.
Yes, thank you. Can you just a moment? You actually ordered two donuts, but I can get that.
Okay, and how old are your kids, Yvette?
They are 6, 3, 2, and then I have a 6-month-old.
Okay. All right. What an exciting time of life. Busy time.
Well, yes, but I keep hearing that it's so exciting and everything, but I know you said you raised 5 little kids, and I was just wondering, how do you keep positive and, you know, throughout the season of my life, I just feel that I'm burnt out. It's hard to keep up the positivity, keep up, you know, the happiness and of course, anger comes and the impatience come and you just, you know, this isn't how God wants you to be. And so I just have a hard time channeling that and trying to show my girls, you know, that this isn't how you should be.
Okay. All right. And one of the things that I heard from older women when I was in the stage of being home with little kids, actually, I used to go to the CCW meetings at my parish just to get out one night a month, and I was the only person probably under 50 in the CCW, and when I was exhausted and wondering why I even would go out at night, they would, and I would maybe be complaining about a certain thing, and they would tell me, with perspective, they'd say, little kids, step on your feet. Big kids, step on your heart. Or little kids, little problems. Big kids, big problems. So the problems we have when our kids are little are exhausting. They really are. But they're not traumatic. It's like they spill their milk. They're hungry. They wet their bed. They poop in their pants. They fight with each other. The three-year-old picks up the six-month-old and drops them on their head. Or things like, oh, my goodness. Like, it seems like chaos. But the beautiful thing, I think, over the last few decades of the church is that so many young moms are living the church teachings, having several children, and at least finding fellowship in one another. There are so many support systems, whether it's online or at your parish, to help enjoy the moment. And so if you can ask God to help you enjoy each moment with your child. I remember I used to be up in the middle of the night with a baby, nursing the baby, thinking, instead of thinking like I'm not getting sleep, here's what I would think, Yvette. I would think, all my adolescent life, I longed to be loved. I wanted someone that would love me and never stop loving me. And now this child loves me so much they cannot sleep through the night without me. And so I would think of the goodness of being wanted and needed and loved. And then, of course, those hormones of being a lactating mother would work when the baby would nurse. But what your focus needs to be is to be pouring out your love. And the fulfillment comes in being able to love all day long, to love 24 hours a day. Now, as a human being, though, you still have needs. Hopefully, your husband isn't working 24 hours a day, can help meet some of those needs, and hopefully you have some kind of support system. What I did was attend a rosary group that was kind of a study of Mother Angelica's little booklets back then, and we would read the Mother Angelica booklet, whatever we could read, with our kids crawling all over us or nursing or downstairs playing, and we would read part of the booklet and pray the rosary together, and our little kids learned how to pray the rosary, and that way we had a support system in faith that didn't require us to get a babysitter, because we all had very young children, and many of them had many more than I did, and they were those same ages as yours, 6, 3, 2, 6 months, and we would just hang out there, kind of like the little HA League meeting, like kids all welcome, and then we would try to support one another, encourage one another. Now, you also said your kids, are maybe wild or disorderly. And that might require you to use some additional discipline or find a way to have your household in more order. Now, your house is going to be a little bit crazy anyway because of the ages and number of your children. But you can teach orderliness to a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old just by disciplining them, having somewhat of a scheduled day, even with a 6-month-old that's on their own schedule. And there are things that you can do to at least bring some order to your home. And maybe if you can get up a few minutes before the first child gets up, say your morning prayers, offer your day to God, and ask Him for His inspiration during the day. Another tip that I used throughout my early motherhood days was to stay in constant contact with our Lord. That knowing that you're serving Him, taking your heart up to heaven, uniting your thoughts with God's thoughts, and thanking Him for each moment, and asking Him for help in each moment, are things that keep you connected to something bigger than yourself. So a support system in your area of real human beings. Ask your husband for help. It's not wrong to ask him for some assistance, and maybe get a neighbor girl to come in, once a week for a couple hours before dinner. Take it easy on yourself for meals, and stay connected to God. Now, there's a new book I just received, I think it was yesterday in the mail, the new version of the Handbook for Catholic Moms by Lisa Hendy, and she is the founder of CatholicMom.com. Have you ever read that website, Yvette?
not, no.
Okay, there's a website called CatholicMom.com. So she had written, when she first started CatholicMom.com, this handbook for Catholic moms, and she just updated it, how to nurture your heart, mind, body, and soul. And as soon as I finish reading it, give me a couple weeks, I will send you my copy. How would that be, Yvette? If you'd like to leave your address and phone number with the call screener there, in case of the phone number, in case the address isn't exactly right. Leave your address and phone number with the call screener, and I will send you my copy of The Handbook for Catholic Moms as soon as I finish reading it. It's got so many wonderful things in it that will help you nurturing yourself through just emotional sustenance. And it talks, the different chapters are, you know, to sustain your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. And it will help you. It's everything, you know, from finances to, you know, learning every day and different little stories that she's updated. So the Handbook for Catholic Moms, if you're willing to leave your address and phone number with the call screener there, I will send you my copy that I received this week as soon as I'm finished reading it. So check out her website too, CatholicMom.com, and get some tips there from other moms. So even if you can't get out once a week, like I was able to see other moms, to at least be connected to them online. Another thing I did was go to daily mass once a week, a later in the morning daily mass. I would drag my kids in the wagon, and I needed that grace. So no matter how they behaved, and they were pretty good by then, we practiced that. That was a great source of grace for us as well. So thanks for the call, Yvette. God bless you in your childbearing.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Jesus is the light in the darkness. Renewal Ministries' Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck invite you to join them for The Gathering, a free live stream only event this Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. Ralph and Peter focus on the hope and encouragement so needed today. They'll answer the questions, what is God saying, and how can I respond? The event will also feature praise and worship, as well as intercessory prayer. Go to renewalministries.net this Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. That's renewalministries.net.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor. In honor of Noreen Schroeder, who is steadfast in her Catholic faith, and in memory of her husband John, her son Jim, and her granddaughter Megan, please offer a Hail Mary for her departed loved ones. You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mast Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825. And you know, if you call now and there's a line open waiting for you, which there is, not a lot of waiting like some people have to do, wait like half an hour, an hour. Get straight on today, 877 877- 573-7825. 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. I had just mentioned to Yvette, who was on the line, that I would send her, if she wants, a free copy of the Handbook for Catholic Moms, if she wants it. So, Yvette, if you do want it, call back the same number, 877-573-7825. Leave your address and phone number with the call screener, and I will send it to you when I finish reading it. But you don't have to. But I also got another book. It was from Ave Maria Press, a book to promote, that was by a mom down south in the, Texas, called Live Big, Love Bigger. I just started reading that yesterday. I'm about halfway through. Catherine Whitaker wrote. But I think the most hilarious book I've read for moms in the last year or so was Jennifer Fulweiler's book, One Beautiful Dream. I started reading it and couldn't stop because I know the chaos of life. She has six kids, but she walks you through her decisions of even having more children, trying to live out the church's teaching, even in the face of medical problems and, you know, just horrible things, crazy things, challenging things happening. And so it was decisions they had to make. So One Beautiful Dream by Jennifer Fulweiler, who now I heard is even going to have a stand-up comedy tour. So that's how funny the book is, One Beautiful Dream. It's hilarious and moving and inspires you to live out your Catholic teachings at the same time. So that might be just some inspiring reading. The book I mentioned before, the Handbook for Catholic Moms, is very practical, good, inspiring, makes you feel not alone. But One Beautiful Dream will just make you laugh as well. So either of those two things would be able to help a mom feel like you're not alone. Now, another good thing to remember for moms, and I didn't have time to say this to Yvette because it was time for the music to play, is something that I tell moms quite often. And I had given a talk to my little group of moms that I've gathered at different times, whether it's with my big kids or my little kids. I would always find or create a group of Catholic moms. And I would go through the spiritual and corporal works of mercy and apply those to motherhood. Actually, that post is probably on my Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mast, somewhere way back there a couple years ago, and maybe I reposted it. But I went through the spiritual and corporal works of mercy and how this applies to motherhood. When you think of what those are, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, comfort the afflicted. I mean, there are so many of those works of mercy that we do all day. And so know that your job, Yvette, and all moms at home, is a very holy calling. I know people today hold in high esteem the work outside of the home. But if you read any of St. Pope John Paul II's readings and many of the Catholic teachings that remind us the beauty of the gift of motherhood is so precious and irreplaceable that you can at least respect and appreciate the calling that you have to be a mom at home, and know that each time you comfort a child, feed someone, give them a drink, you are doing what Jesus would do and what Jesus wants you to do. So moments of holiness all day are what motherhood at home is all about. So Yvette, I hope that gives you some inspiration and encouragement to live out these days and do appreciate and enjoy them. But if there's a lot of frustration, make sure you've got some of that orderliness and discipline going on in your home so that you don't drive yourself crazy or allow your kids to do that. Because there's going to be some chaos, but there should be some orderliness to the chaos. So thanks for that call. Brings back great memories for me and for all moms who've struggled with that, being home with lots of little kids. What a great and beautiful time of life. You give us a call, too, with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. You're listening to Mast Appeal. Our next caller is Joanna from San Diego, California. Welcome to the show, Joanna. How can I help you today?
Hi. I was calling because actually this morning I was looking up on Google for just information that I don't even know if I should be looking up or not. And like you were talking about the caller, I have actually been staying home for 2 years.
Oh, good.
And it has been amazing for me. and it has been a growth for my kids and my marriage. But because of the reason that I'm about to say, I now am looking for a flexible job where I can still be at home as much as I can, but still bring income to help out with the situation. So my sister, she lives, after last year, she lives in Mexico, and she has a boyfriend, and she lives with the boyfriend, and she took the kids with her. The kids are U.S. citizens. And yesterday I was talking to my mom, and she brought up to me that she's very worried because she went to visit the family, and he has a lot of a lot of worship towards the evil and saints of death. And in the past year, my sister has been estranged from us.
She just
acts erratic, and she doesn't, I haven't seen her. And right now the kids are with my mom, and my mom is trying to at least keep the kids so they can go to school.
So the kids are here, not with your sister?
Right now, yes.
Okay. Which sounds like a safe place if he's involved in whether it's pagan worship or witchcraft or Satan worshiping. That is frightening. I mean, I think it's good that she's rescuing the kids from that. Does your sister embrace that, or is she just going along because she thinks she's in love with this guy?
Well, we don't know. We just found out.
Okay.
We just found out, and I just found out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just coincidentally, as things happen, I was just, you know, I've never even, I mean, I believe in God, and I believe there's also evil, but I've never heard about something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like, what do you do? Like, how, because my sister doesn't even, like, really talk to us that much. She's completely changed.
Ooh, that's scary, too, if she's involved with the occult or something that is of evil. All right, well, start with prayer, of course. Do you know the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel? Or you could probably find it online, do a Google search for that. Have you ever familiar with that, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle? It's about a spiritual battle.
No.
Okay, a prayer you probably are familiar with is the Our Father, which is another prayer of exorcism. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It says it's the Our Father. So I would suggest you begin to pray those two prayers, Joanna, for your sister in that situation. The Our Father, pray that probably twice a day, or maybe every time you think of her, because this could be a frightening situation. And then pray that, look up and find the St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle prayer. And these are prayers to ask God to use his power and might over the strength of Satan that right now is maybe what your sister and her boyfriend are involved in. And the USCC Bishops, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, just released a brand new book that is an accumulation of all of Pope Francis's quotes on the devil. It's just called Pope Francis Rebuking the Devil. And you might even be able to find a list of those on the internet, what Pope Francis has said about the devil. So if he's involved, if your sister's boyfriend is a Satan worshiper or involved in the occult or witchcraft in some way, you do have great cause for concern. And I think you should do something about it, but start that with prayer. Start saying these prayers. Get not too much information about it, but enough information about how to rebuke the devil through prayer, and realize that there is a devil. Pope Francis tells us regularly, and how he does work in the world, tempting man and gets people involved as a seductive serpent, as we know from the story of Adam and Eve, and he is the father of sin, distractions, lies, confusion, darkness. And so if your sister is estranged from you and caught up in that, start with prayer. And after you've prayed enough and asked the Holy Spirit alive in your heart to inspire you when to make that move, invite her back. invite her back for a visit without him and get her away from that and see if she's willing to see clearly, to open up to you, to see the light, because it's a situation that is not going to lead her to heaven, it sounds like. And so it would be important for you to pray. It'd be important for you to also stay in the state of grace yourself, to go to confession regularly, to go to Mass regularly, so you can ask God to send some of those graces and sacrifices that you make toward your sister. And then, as I said, after you've prayed for a while, then see if she's willing to come, and maybe there'll be an opening there where something will happen between the two of them and she'll be willing to get away from that. So it is cause for concern, and I would worry about, and if you can get him away from that, get her away from that situation with him, I would do so, because it would it'd be a way of rescuing her soul. You know, if somebody's house was on fire, we'd run in and rescue them quickly or call the fire department. And if somebody's soul is on fire, or they're right now getting involved in Satan worshiping, or someone who is doing that, this is a spiritual fire in a way. So, I went over break. All right, so hope those ideas help you, Joanna. We're past break here. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal right after this message. We have some thank yous here for our wonderful Ave Maria Radio partners and donors. Thank you to Calvin from Pidgeon, Michigan. Thank you to Jessica from Lilburn, Georgia. And thank you to Michael from North Miami Beach, Florida. Thanks, Kelly from Lake Zurich, Illinois. And thank you, Patrice from Saline, Michigan. And if you've not already given, please consider a donation at AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. Where do you get information about God? How can you be sure what you read or what you are told by authorities is true? For if the things we are told about Christianity are true, tremendous demands are put upon our lives, and to say we believe them requires that we live them. Elton Trueblood said,
"We should be foolish not to use all the intelligence we can muster in order to try to know whether Christianity is true. To fail to give our minds loyally to this inquiry would not be so much irreverent as stupid."
It's important, therefore, that we get and understand the facts, evidences, and reasons for Christianity. Our life here and for eternity depends on such efforts. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under Resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Our topics during Cresta in the Afternoon toggle between church teaching and then using that teaching to shine a light on our world. We'll look at Christ and culture, church and world, religion and public life, from abortion to Zechariah and everything in between, biblical criticism, Hollywood productions, academic debate, family and love, prayer and spirituality.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Mass Appeal. We cannot take any phone calls at this time.
Good morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal. Our last segment already. Went a little bit over on that one, but we still have Anthony left and John from Maryland. Call back next week. We do want to hear that explanation, so call back, John. Anthony, you're on there right now. We've got a few moments here to respond to your inquiry. Anthony from Colorado, you're on the air now.
Yeah, hello there. My name is Anthony, and we're transitioning from Colorado to Texas. My hometown's El Paso.
Oh, wow.
And, and one of the things, it's just kind of, you know, as a family that, we attend Mass, you know, every Sunday, and I like to attend even more during the course of the week. But just really getting the family to focus in the midst of just a lot of anxiety in the world.
Mm.
I feel like I'm doing pretty well, but I know that my wife is very affected by just all the current things going on, you know, namely, like, even the one that just happened in El Paso.
Oh, my. Yeah, I can imagine if you're moving to Texas and one of you is from there.
Right. My wife is from Romania.
Oh, my goodness. She must be frightened
and,
even more.
Yeah, but we're just like everyone else, in need of prayer and support, but it's just that in terms of just staying focused and being the calm in the storm, which, you know, to me is what embodies being a Christian, a mm-hmm. true Christian and a
yeah,
true believer.
Exactly.
But I guess what I'm basically asking is for prayer support as we pray for your ministry and all, but also just a special healing just for my wife, because I just think it's something that I've noticed, and it's something that I'm praying
help.
For her for.
Now, we just have a minute left, so I'm going to make our suggestion here, Anthony, mm-hmm. in that as the spiritual leader of the household assigned by God somehow to help your family through this, you might be that calm in the storm for them, moving, even though she's from a different country, you've got a 12-year-old daughter, a time of chaos in the culture, is to gather everybody in the first thing in the morning and pray that morning offering together and maybe reflect on that morning's gospel and ask each person, just in 5 minutes, what is God saying to you in that gospel today? And then join together in spirit or on the phone and say a noon prayer together, such as the Angelus. And then at night, gather together again before you go to bed. Your 12-year-old should be home at night. And do that night exam and a beautiful prayer together. So if you pray together 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night, and kept connecting to God, that's a good way to maintain that good prayer life in a time that's of kind of chaotic, of moving, but stay close to our Lord. This is Colleen Kelly Mast reminding you to be Christ to
Mass others. Mass Appeal is produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, avemariaradio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen.